We actually have a mutual friend, if you remember, David Kim. He came to one of our camp meetings. He took part in the Lamb Wins. I don't know about the King James. He was part of that as well. And then we have mutual friends. DeLon helped edit the music and everything. So, yeah, we're all part of the same family. So I just wanted to read to you a little introduction about Lee. Lee G is one of about 30 musicians that make up the Lesser Light Collective. That's the group that makes these CDs. This group has put the books of Daniel and Revelation to song to share the scripture in a creative way that uplifts Jesus Christ. Lee and his wife work with the Lesser Light Collective full-time and enjoy eating delicious foods and taking walks in nature. They have recently released a coloring book on Daniel and Revelation and have been married for 2 years. Congratulations. It's been an amazing journey, and they are happy to be here and share this ministry with you. So we just want to invite you all up, you, Lee, up, and thank you so much for coming.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. How are you all doing? Good, or good afternoon. So thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. My wife and I, we set aside 2 years at the beginning of our marriage just to sharing this ministry. It's something that we believe in and that God has been using. And so I'm really excited to be here to share it with you. And I just wanted to share a little bit of my story and how I've got here, hoping that it encourages some of you. So I didn't grow up a Christian or reading the Bible or anything. I went to a public high school called Central High School in Philadelphia. And in the lunchroom, what happened? Oh, no, I got it. Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. Thanks for your concern, though. So in the lunchroom, I saw this guy beatboxing. He would make beats with his mouth, and I was really interested in rapping, and so I went up to him, I approached him, and I asked him if I could share one of the raps that I had written with his beatbox. So he said okay, and we really, from that day, started meeting together every day at lunch and just doing this. I would rap, he would beatbox, and I found out that he was actually a Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, who really loved prophecy, and he would just talk about it all the time, but I really had no interest, and I wasn't really trying to hear it. And so, you know, time passed, 7 years actually passed. He was praying for me, oftentimes wondered if we should stop making music, even stop being friends. But, you know, he kept praying, and eventually we made an agreement that for us to keep making music together, I would have to read the Bible for 15 minutes and pray for the Holy Spirit and to not make any music on the Sabbath, because he was a Seventh-day Adventist. So he, we talked and we made this agreement. And after, a couple months, eventually, you know, I was like, okay, I shouldn't just be doing this because I feel like I have to. So I stopped reading the Bible because of this agreement, but I kept reading the Bible because I enjoyed it. And because as I was reading it, I really started getting attracted to Jesus and, you know, seeing how amazing Jesus was and the way he lived his life. And so God started doing different things in my life, bringing my sister, who I hadn't known, my half sister, into my life. She was a Christian. My grandmother, who I hadn't been talking to, found out she was a Seventh-day Adventist. She encouraged me to keep the Sabbath. And, you know, ultimately, I decided to follow Christ. Like, to really follow him, not just as a good teacher or someone that I liked, but as someone that I wanted to live my whole entire life for. And so DeLon and I started doing ministry, and we this girl came to our church and recruited us for a literature evangelism program. Is anyone here has done Youth Rush? Yeah, a couple people? Okay, awesome. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, this literature evangelism totally changed my life. But when I was bringing my application for this program to the girl's house that had recruited us, I met her mother. And her mother's name is Jennifer Jill Swerzer. And Jennifer had actually been putting the entire book of Revelation to music. So she was setting it to poetry and making it rhyme. And I told her, you know, that I had this background in rapping. And she was like, oh, I wrote a rap. And she showed me this rap that she wrote on Revelation 17 and 18, in the fall of Babylon. And so it was just really weird. But she eventually asked me if I'd like to be involved in this project that she'd been working on and putting the whole book of Revelation to music. And so then she asked Delon, and Delon was the guy that I met in high school. And so more and more people start getting involved, to where now it's like 30 different musicians. And so I'm going to be sharing some of the songs that I've written from these projects on Daniel and Revelation, and some of the songs that other artists have written. But we're going to be taking a musical journey through the books of Daniel and Revelation. So I'm just going to pray real quick that Jesus is lifted up, and that even if none of you all remember me after this, that you remember Jesus and the impact that he's had on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We just want to pray that you're lifted up. I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, that we'll each hear a word from you, and that we will not be the same when we leave this place, that our experience with you will grow deeper, and that we'll be more connected with you. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, is there anyone here that likes prophecy? Daniel and Revelation? Awesome. Cool. So, the book of Daniel, does anyone know around when it was written? I heard some whispers. But it was written around the year 600 BC, when Daniel, who was just a teenager at the time, was taken from his home in Jerusalem and exiled to Babylon. In the third year, Jehoiakim and his bride, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to fight, and he trapped us inside our walls till we could not hide. So now I'm looking behind to see my home for the very last time. Exiled. Took the gold from our temple, from the house of our God to his God. Best of our young men too, to train us all as his squires. So now we're fearing our fathers, lost in a fog of fire. Exiled. So Daniel, he's taken from his home in Jerusalem as just a teenager, and he's given a new name after the Babylonian gods, and he's given these orders to serve the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so as Daniel's being trained in this school, he's ordered that he has to eat these foods that King Nebuchadnezzar is giving them. But he knows that God has told him not to eat these foods. And so he chooses to serve God, and this is what happens. I serve God in Babylon. Daniel, you fool. We serve God in Babylon. Daniel, what's cool? I serve God in Babylon. Daniel, you fool.
We serve God in Babylon. All the boys in Babylon and none were playing hooky. Ashpenaz chose them because they were all good looking. All of them remembering their mother's good cooking as they thought about the food and wine the Babylonians ate. Daniel made his mind up he would not defile his body, seeking out permission from the chief who thought it odd. He said, I could lose my head, but Daniel said that you could watch me. And he asked for 10 days with only veggies on his plate. Trial soon over and they made evaluation. Daniel and his band will represent the Hebrew nation. Judges all agreed they made a fine representation. They were handsomer and smarter than the other boys at school. Think about this story now and let it be a learning. You think rejection's coming, yet it's true respect you're earning. Yet ultimately favor of our God, the greatest yearning. And hearing his well done, who really cares about what's cool? Daniel, Daniel, what's cool? I serve God in Babylon. Daniel, Daniel, you fool. We serve God in Babylon. Daniel, Daniel, what's cool? I serve God in Babylon. Daniel, Daniel, you fool. We serve God in Babylon.
And you can turn my voice down just a little bit. Thank you. So Daniel is choosing to serve God, to be faithful, even in the little things, things that might seem little, but really aren't. Because when you look at the book of Daniel, you find this first decision that he made to serve God in what he was eating. And then after that, you find that God sees Daniel as someone that he can trust, and he entrusts Daniel with more and more and more until you get to Daniel chapter 7, and God reveals to Daniel the nations that would reign from his time all the way until the end of time, and shows that at the end of time, the last nation that would come on the scene is this little horn power, symbolized by a little horn, that would wage war not only against other nations, but against God's kingdom and against God's people.
Prophets portray the nations as creatures, so say the eschatology teachers. Drama played out, narrated by preachers now. Many years after Nebuchadnezzar, prophecy came first year of Belshazzar. Win on the sea, then four predators. Wow. Lion with eagle wings, it towered. Lopsided bear, all others devoured. Four-headed leopard, it overpowered the bear. Then came the fourth, defying description, crushing and cruel, cold-blooded mission. From the ten horns, a little one makes a stare.
And the little horn takes the stage.
Small things can become big things. Plucking out three kings, eyes of a man. And boasting, posturing, bragging. Rising up angry, that moment when
the little horn takes the stage.
Just at the moment evil comes raging, calling an end to the wars and the waging. Who comes along and moves all the staging? God. Ancient of days, white hair and white robe. River of fire flows from his white throne. Myriad angels, all of the globe is on.
When the little horn takes the stage.
Big things can become small things if they usurp the King of Kings and persecute saints and temper. God's commandments, claiming to be Him when He certainly ain't.
When the little horn takes the stage,
into the fire you cruel persecutor, system of shame, you child abuser, intending to change God's holy seven, trampling the cross, blaspheming heaven, you're a bane to life on earth, a blight, a plague, an ever corrupting curse, deceiving the world, but prophecy speaks and we will know who you are.
When the little horn takes the stage.
So you see with these different powers that come on the scene that this little horn power attempts to steal God's throne and really is so proud and so arrogant as to try to, you know, change God's laws. And so we see in the book of Daniel this principle that even though it might not seem like it in the short term, you know, as Daniel, he's humbling himself before God, and yet he's a slave in a foreign land. And he sees these nations that are arrogant. He sees them exalting and being successful. So even though it might not seem like it in the moment, God shows that ultimately those who are proud are cast down and those who humble themselves before God are raised up. And Daniel, he's found in Daniel chapter 9 just praying this prayer. And, you know, it was actually many years after he had that prophecy that we just sang about, that he's praying and he's wanting to understand more and more. Because there was this one thing that was said in that prophecy that really puzzled him. And I want to ask you and give a little quiz. So in that prophecy that we just sang about in the next chapter, there's these angels that are having a conversation. And one of them asks, how long is this little horn power going to be able to reign? And does anyone know the answer that's given in Daniel 8:14? Go ahead. No, just shout it out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So 2300 days. And then the sanctuary will be cleansed, or then this judgment is going to take place. But there's no start time given. Daniel is left perplexed, and we find him praying this prayer, seeking for more understanding in Daniel chapter 9.
Lord, great and marvelous, keeping your covenant, merciful God, we have sinned. Chosen iniquity, we have done wickedly, heritage cast to the wind. Promises broken, prophets ignored, all that you've spoken despised, O Lord. Temple lies in waste, your people are disgraced, turn now for your name's sake, not for our righteousness, but for your righteousness, because your mercies are great. Promises broken, prophets ignored, all that you've spoken despised, O Lord. Yeah.
promises broken, prophets ignored. Hear what I've spoken, forgive, oh Lord.
So you've noticed that Daniel prays this prayer not because of his faithfulness or his people's faithfulness, because it's their unfaithfulness to God that caused them to be taken captive into Babylon. But he prays this because of God's faithfulness. And God continues to show his faithfulness to his promises for his people throughout the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, we get to one of the most complicated prophecies in the entire Bible. And at first it talks about, you know, Greece and Medo-Persia and these nations, but eventually it just identifies these nations by their geographical location, king of the north, king of the south. And God's people are caught right in the middle of this war until God finally stands for his people. So this song is called King of the North, King of the South.
The north, king of the south, fighting a war with muscle and mouth. King of the south, king of the north, forever contending with wrath going forth. Caught in the midst, home of the blessed, beautiful and holy city, the people of God, people of God. King of the north, king of the south, fighting a war with muscle and mouth. Here comes a story of war, greed, envy for more. Three kings came from Persia, Greece was leveled by the fourth. From Greece came a great king, when he became deceased, his kingdom split into four parts. North, south, west, east, king of the south became strong. His prince became strong too, stronger than the king until he conquered him. So king of the south tries a treaty, gives king of the north his daughter, but she's given up and dropped with those who brought her and begot her. So she dies, but from her own line will arise a warrior slaughtering the north. It gets gorier. King of the north, king of the south, fighting a war with the muscle and mouth. King of the south, king of the north, forever contending with wrath going forth. Caught in the midst, home of the blessed, beautiful and holy city, the people of God, people of God. King of the north, king of the south, fighting a war with muscle and mouth. King of the south had it till the north brought havoc. King of the north stands in the glorious land, war in his hand, throws his daughter in the south like a bomb, but she abandons him. King rises in his place and begins to tax Jerusalem. He's replaced by a vile man who breaks the prince of the covenants, coming in like a flood with a mouth full of lies. South couldn't hide, stare in each other's eyes, thinking they're so wise, but the end comes at a set time. Only God decides. The north is enraged against the holy covenant, sets up the abomination of desolation in place of God's government. Saints fall, some remain, stay strong, suffer pain, purified, made clean, till the time of the end. King of the north, full of pride, pushed above every god. South attacks north, north attacks south, like a whirlwind that won't be stopped. North led to the glorious land, and some countries escape. News from the east moves him to be a beast and raised with hate. Pissed his tent between seas and the holy mountain. He'll meet his end, be defeated, not a soul will help him.
Daniel continues to want to understand more and to get more, you know, insight into these things that are happening, because a lot of the things that actually were revealed to the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't fully understand, but they were written for our benefit, it says in the New Testament. And Daniel was told by Jesus himself that he was not going to understand all of these things, but at the end of time, the wise would understand. So this song is called Go Your Way. It's how the book of Daniel ends. Just want to make sure my guitar is in tune before I start it. There it is. Go your way.
stood two others, one on each side of the river. One said to the man above the waters, how long till the end of the wonders? He said, a time, times and a half a time, until the power of the holy people shattered. I asked the man who stood above the waters, how will things finally end up? I heard him say, Daniel, go your way. These words avail until the final days. Go your way. Go, go your way, Daniel. Daniel, I know that you want to know all the truth. Go your way, Daniel. Don't worry now, all you need to do. Men know deception. They take away the daily, raising high abomination of desolation. There will be 1290 days. Blessed are they who wait till the 1335 days.
Take a slight break in between these two books to give you an opportunity to actually support this ministry, support this message getting out, support the messengers. So we're going to be collecting a love offering, but you can go to the next slide. I just want to tell you three ways really quick that you can support this ministry. So one is by donating, by giving. If you'd like to give in the form of a check, make sure you make it out to Michael Ministries, Michael Ministries. You can also buy stuff, obviously, you know, not now, not on the Sabbath, but there's a CD on the book of Revelation, The Lamb Wins. There's one on the book of Daniel, The King Dreams. And then there's the Vibrant Visions coloring book, which is Daniel and Revelation. So we're not going to be selling anything until after the Sabbath, but after the Sabbath, we are going to be at Norwalk Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is like 15 minutes from here, I think. So if you would like to get any of these things after the Sabbath with us in person, you can, or if you'd like to get them later, you can go to the lesserlightcollective.com website. So That's definitely one way, or really that's two ways technically. But then the next one, you can become a friend of the Lesser Light. So this is if you'd like to help this ministry to have stability, to keep going. Even after my wife aren't doing this full time, there's still going to be certain expenses just to keep things up and running. There's a LearnDanielInRevelation.com website that we have that I have some cards for, and we're going to have cards for right out there. Yeah. And so, you know, you'd just be helping to upkeep some of these different things. And then also you can tell others, you're our best marketer. So we're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can share videos with people. You can share the music with people. And it's evangelism too. So you're not just promoting us, but you're actually promoting Jesus and helping people to hear about him. And a quick testimony on that, there was a 9-year-old, was he 9 or 8? I forget. He was turning 8. It was his 8th birthday. He lived in Australia. And he actually wanted to get these CDs for all of his friends for his birthday. And so that was amazing. There was also a woman that was studying Revelation in an international Bible study. And she was just ordering these CDs like 10, 20 at a time and just giving them out to people at this national Bible study group. And really, you know, exposing them to a clear understanding of the book of Revelation as they're studying. So, yeah, please share. You never know the effect that it may have on someone's life. People's lives are being changed. And so now I'm going to go into the book of Revelation, but I just wanted to give that pitch, and we're also going to be collecting a love offering. So I don't know who does that. Should have talked about that before, but whoever's here and collects the love offering, please please receive that during this next song. Thanks.
Okay.
So Daniel, in the book of Daniel, you see this concept of Daniel humbling himself before God. And God blessing him, and God saying that ultimately, even though it seems like people are successful, who are proud, who are disregarding him and his law, that they'll ultimately be cast low. So in the book of Revelation, we see the same principle, and it's like magnified. So in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, just to show this link super clearly, we see a group of people that are studying these prophecies in the book of Daniel. And even when what they thought was going to happen doesn't happen, when Jesus doesn't come at the end of this period of time that Daniel didn't understand, they continue to seek God and to seek his promises, to humble themselves, to say, you know, God isn't wrong. We must have been wrong. And this song is about that prophecy in Revelation chapter 10 that actually describes how this church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, began.
From heaven with a rainbow cloud, face and feet burning, clothed with a cloud, little book in hand, and it gave a lion's roar, and the seven thunders pealed as they stood upon the shore. John was just about to write, but from heaven he heard, no, you must seal up the words of the seven thunders' woe. The angel on the shore raised his right hand up to say, I swear by the Creator there will be no more delay. You must take my word, take my word, oh, take my word, take my word for it, take my word, take my word. If you want to know the prophecy, then take my word. The mystery of God is finished, don't you know? When the seventh angel trumpet is just about to blow, that voice from heaven thundered down the glittering shore, when he told John to do something that pierced him to his core. He said, take the little book that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. The angel held the book out with a warning, tell you what, in your mouth it will be sweet, then it will sour in your gut. But take my word, take my word, oh, take my word, take my word for it, take my word, take my word. If you want to know the prophecy, then take my word.
The Bible's a reliable historical document, never claimed to be a fable like fairies and goblins. William Miller stopped when he discovered Daniel 8:14, and he got on top of it. Of all time prophecies, it was the longest. Those who wait on God are considered the strongest. Want to know the prophecy?
think we all can see how the prophecy applies. Those bitter disappointments help us all to realize that God's timing is as perfect as our understanding flawed, and our failed interpretations drive us to the word of God. He said, take my word, take my word, oh, take my word, take my word for it, take my word, take my word. If you want to know the prophecy, then take my word, 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 take my word for it. If you want to know the prophecy, then take my word.
You know, people don't change. So even though the time periods we're talking about, 600 BC, you know, different periods of history, 1844, where that event took place, where people thought Jesus was coming, and then continued to study the prophecies, realized that he was trying to tell us what he was doing in heaven at that time. People are the same. And so Jesus has an address specifically to us today, but it's addressing the same root problem, you know, the pride of the human heart. Jesus has a very special message for us, and he wants to say that there is absolutely nothing, nothing that you can do to be saved. There's nothing that you can do and of your own works to earn your place in heaven, but that it is only Jesus's sacrifice and what he has done, and that the church of today has actually forgotten this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, thus says the Amen, the true statement, the beginning of God's creation. I can't water down your cases. I'm placing the facts flat. Face them. I'm well acquainted with your works, neither cold nor hot. It makes me sick. I'll vomit you out my mouth. Lukewarm, complacent. I wish you were cold or hot. But you say, I'm rich and become wealthy, and I have no want. But you do not know who deceived you, that you're miserable, wretched too, poor, naked, blind, the basest kind. Please don't waste your time. Purchase my gold, fire refined, and bright white, righteous clothes to cover your jaded, shameful, frightening soul. Also anoint your eyes to see, yeah, and to free you from your pride till you see your need. As many as I love, I rebuke. Hope to wake you up with uncut truth. Turn around, be made completely new. Zealous woman up till my love shines through. I'm crying for you, standing at the door, want to dine with you. Knock, knock, hello, I'm at the door, outside your church. Do you hear my call? To the overcomer, I'll show the honor to sit with me on my throne, the same way I did with my father. If you're hot or cold, you hear my offer. I cannot force you to follow. The lukewarm church says, man, don't bother. Problem is, I don't want to let you go. I'm stretching out a hand that you just won't hold. To he who has an ear, let him hear. I'm here, and the Spirit has told you it's so. Oh no, I laid my life down to free you. You're like, so what? I know. Heaven doesn't even attract you. You mustn't let this cold, dark world distract you. Last call for the one I love. The people judge. When will you budge? I love you. Some of the most solemn messages in the entire Bible are recorded in the book of Revelation. And it's no wonder, because, you know, it's really written for us living at this period of Earth's history. We're living in a period of history that's more intense than any other period of Earth's history. I mean, it's like unprecedented. Like, since the release of the iPhone, depression has shot up like crazy. It's the first time in 25 years that the suicide rate among adolescents is higher than the homicide rate. Loneliness has shot up like crazy, and we're spending so much time looking at our screens and our phones, and I'm guilty of it just as much as anyone. But you know, we're missing the messages that God is wanting to share with us to wake us up at this time, because the devil is rallying, you know, his army, and God is also rallying his army in a spiritual warfare that's taking place. And so this next message is called Warning Cry, and it's based on the three angels' message in Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12. It's God's message for his army. So I pray that we'll heed the call, and we ask the question, though this is a solemn warning, would it be love if he didn't warn you? Solemn message for a very solemn hour in these days when life is just a game. Brings us to our senses as God appears in power and sends three angels to proclaim a warning, life or death. And yet, would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love? First angel calls out, fear God and give him glory, worship him who made all things. Second angel follows and warns of Babylon and the licentious wine she brings, and how she lures them into fornication. Every nation, would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love? Love gives a warning cry. Love makes the angels fly. Love will not let us die without a fight, without a fight. Love laid his glory down. Love gave his only son. All that's left apart from them is consuming fire and endless night. Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love? Third angel follows and cries throughout the land, if any bow down to the beast, taking his mark on his forehead or his hand, the wine of God's wrath will he drink. Fire and brimstone in the face of the Lamb's pure love. Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love if it didn't warn you? Would it be love? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know, we have some amazing examples in the Bible of people who humbled themselves before God, and like the most humble people God could find on the planet. You know, Moses, he's the most humble person on the planet at his time. And yet he still had pride that came up in his heart. And he yelled at the children of Israel, and God told him he couldn't go to the promised land. And all throughout the Bible, there's these people that are like these heroes, and yet they fell. But there's one hero, there's one who humbled himself to such a point that he gave up his power as God and became a man, and then not just a man, but became a servant, and not just a servant, but he humbled himself even to death, and not just any death, but the most humiliating death that anyone could ever suffer. There is one who was humbled from beginning to end and who has never fallen, and that person is Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is symbolized as a lamb, not a towering dragon or some kind of ferocious beast, but a lamb that was slain. And this lamb gives us victory because he has won the war of good and evil. He has overcome pride. He has overcome sin. He has overcome death. And the lamb wins. And because he wins, when we follow him wherever he goes, we win. And this next song is called "The Lamb Wins." And I just want to invite you to sing along with me if you know the words to this song.
Not fear all the kings and beasts of history, prideful, strong, and cruel, climbing toward the great I am, ultimately fail, and the power of love, the mystery, wins the war at last through the weakness of a lamb. See how the story ends before the end begins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins, the war of good and evil. Praise to the one who triumphed over all our sins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. In the midst of beasts, see the harmless one come softly, meek and lowly king, with a crown of sacrifice. See humility overcome the proud and lofty. See him conquer death through the giving up of life. See how the story ends before the end begins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins, the war of good and evil. Praise to the one who triumphed over all our sins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. Worthy, Jesus is worthy. Yes, he is worthy, for he is love. Glorious, and yes, victorious. Before the end begins, the Lamb wins, the Lamb wins, the war of good and evil. Praise to the one who triumphed over all our sins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the
Amen. Amen. You know, oftentimes we'll make these big trials in spirituality and hope that we'll be successful in overcoming these big trials. Say, if someone asks us, you know, if we serve Jesus and says that they'll kill us if we say that we do or something like that. But often our trials, especially in this country and here, can seem much smaller. But really, it's in these small things that God prepares us for the bigger things. And so I just want to make an appeal. You know, if you've seen the Lamb wins the war of good and evil, you've seen that the Lamb wins the war of pride and that love conquers pride and that truth conquers error, I am going to ask you, does the Lamb win the war of good and evil in your heart? And it's not about you having everything together, but you acknowledging that God has everything together and that God is able to make you willing. You know, you might want to check how many likes you have on a picture on Instagram instead of read the Bible. And that's honestly, you know, maybe where you're at. But God is able to change our hearts to make us more interested in his word than we are in our own image or our own reputation. And so I just want to make an appeal. If you want to say the Lamb wins the war of good and evil in my heart, you want to ask Jesus to reign on your heart instead of yourself and your selfishness, but his humility and his love. I want to ask you to stand with us now as we sing this chorus for the Lamb wins one more time.
See how the story ends before the end begins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. The war of good and evil, praise to the one who triumphed over all our sins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. See how the story ends before the end begins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins. The war of good and evil, praise to the one who triumphed over all our sins. The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins.
Amen. Just bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. I thank you for giving us life and for reminding us, you know, that love does win the war. I pray that as Daniel humbled himself before you for years, that we'll look at his example and the example of others, but ultimately that we'll look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross because he could see by faith us standing with him, help the faith of Jesus to be ours, and for us in having the faith of Jesus to keep your commandments as well. We thank you for allowing us to be here. And I just want to make an appeal. If there's anybody here, as you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, but if there's anyone here that is making this decision for the first time, or for the first time in a really long time, to allow Jesus to be on the throne of your heart, I just want to ask that you'll raise your hand right where you're standing, that you'll raise your hand. And praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you see the hands that are raised. You see the hearts that have been touched. And I just want to thank you for your goodness and pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for having us. We're actually going to be right outside. So please do come and say hi. Especially if you raise your hand, I'd love to talk with you. But yeah, come and say hi, and we'll give you more information on how you can stay in touch. These are just some of the ways that you can stay in touch with us. But God bless you, and thank you for having us.
Lee, I'm going to ask you to stay up here, and then Hillary, you can come up as well.